Welcome to Torah Yomecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei HaYomim Bet, Perek Yud Bet. Chapter 12 minces no words. Vayihi keachin machut rechavam ukechezkato azav et Torat Hashem v'chol Yisrael imo. When the kingship of Rechavam was firmly established and he grew strong, he abandoned the teaching of God, he and all Israel with him. What happened? What changed? The Malbim explains that one who serves Hashem out of love, without any ulterior motive, serving only for the sake of Hashem, will never abandon that service under any circumstances. But one who serves Hashem for external purposes or other intentions will leave Hashem when the matters for which he served come to an end. So too, Rechavam served Hashem only because he knew that through this, his kingship would be strengthened against Yeravam. Therefore, as long as he feared Yeravam, Rechavam served Hashem. But once Rechavam's kingdom became established and strong through building fortified cities, and as many from Israel joined him, and he no longer feared Yeravam, he abandoned the Torah of Hashem. And all of Israel who had kept the Torah only because of the king's command abandoned it along with him. The results of this were swift and immediate. Vayihi b'shana ha-chamishit la-melech Rechavam ala Shishak melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim ki ma'alu ba-Hashem. In the fifth year of King Rechavam, King Shishak of Egypt marched against Jerusalem, for they had trespassed against God. Be'elef u'matayim rechav u'bishishim elef parashim ve'ein mispar la'am asher ba'u yimo mi-Mitzrayim luvim sukiyim v'chushim. With 1,200 chariots, 60,000 riders, and innumerable troops, who came with him from Egypt, Libyans, Sukkites, and Cushites. Vayelkod et arei ha-mitzrot asher li-Yehuda v'yavo ad Yerushalayim. He took the fortified towns of Judah and advanced on Jerusalem. The psukim make it clear that Rechavam and the Jewish people were punished, mida keneged mida, measure for measurement. The punishment fits the crime. Rechavam forsook Hashem's Torah, and now Hashem abandons them. And without his active intervention, Shishak will, through his military strength, overpower them. A remarkable Egyptian account of this invasion exists today. I find it genuinely compelling when there is tangible evidence that verifies biblical history. On the throne of Egypt at this time was a pharaoh by the name of Shoshenk. The slight spelling difference in the names is actually less obvious when comparing the Egyptian with the Hebrew. Shoshenk I rose to power as a military leader during the final years of Egypt's 21st dynasty, eventually taking the throne and establishing a new dynasty of his own, the 22nd dynasty. Shoshenk I, who ruled circa 945 to 924 BCE, was a Libyan, not a native Egyptian, and we saw in Pasuk Gimel that Libyans came with Shishak when he attacked Jerusalem, a detail that makes sense in light of who Shoshenk was. Egyptologist Professor Kenneth Kitchen notes that the dates of Shoshenk fit the dates for Rechavam. Deep in the south of Egypt, at the vast and impressive Karnak Temple in Luxor, is a 20-foot temple gate known as the Bubastite Portal. The right-hand side of the gate's main facade is adorned with inscriptions commemorating Shoshenk's invasion into the Levant, a region along the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Decorating the top are images of Shoshenk's opponents being trampled upon by horses and chariots, which fits with what we read in Pasuk Gimel about the chariots and horsemen that he brought with him for the attack. Note how in Pasuk Dalet, it said that Shishak captured cities and came to Jerusalem. This is also corroborated by archaeology. It would seem that Shishak took the strongest cities of Rechavam's kingdom without fighting. The cities had simply surrendered before the might of his forces. There is likewise no late 10th century Shoshenk I period destruction found in Jerusalem. Historically, Shlomo's broad and expansive kingdom exerted full control over the crucial regional trade routes running between Egyptian, Hittite, and Mesopotamian lands. These passages were taxed by Shlomo. The rulers of Egypt during the reigns of David and Shlomo would have been biding their time for an eventual Egyptian resurgence. Here again, we see an example of sibatiyut kfula, dual causality, where biblical narratives indicate that events can be understood through both divine and human perspectives. Shishak attacked Jerusalem because the fractured kingdom provided him with the opportunity he was looking for, a weakness to exploit, that would enable him to take the power back from Israel. The Navi explains to us that unwittingly, Shishak was an agent of Hashem, selected to fulfill the role of enacting punishment upon the Jewish people. It is crucial to underscore this. The lives of the Jewish people always unfold on two distinct levels. Hashem is always operating behind the scenes. Yet in the absence of nevuah, prophecy, while we know and trust this to be true, we cannot discern with certainty the specific reasons or causes behind events. We pick up in Psukim 5-6. Shmaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the princes of Yehuda that had gathered in Jerusalem because of Shishak and told them explicitly, Ko amar Hashem atem azavtem oti, va'af ani azavti etchem biyad Shishak. Thus said God, you have abandoned me, so I am abandoning you to Shishak. Immediately they humbled themselves before Hashem. And when Hashem saw that they humbled themselves, he told them through Shmaiah that, Nichne'u, lo ashritem, v'natati lahem kim'at l'pleta, v'lo titach hamati b'yushalayim b'yad Shishak. Since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will grant them some measure of deliverance, and my wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. Ki yiyu lo l'avadim, v'yed'u avodati, v'avadot mamlachot ha'aretzot. They will be subject to him, and they will know the difference between serving me and serving the kingdoms of the earth. Verse 9 describes what happened next. Vayal Shishak Melch Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim, vayikach et otzrot beit Hashem, ve'otzrot beit HaMelch, et hakol lakach, vayikach en meginei hazahav asher asa Shlomo. He took away the treasures of the house of God and the treasures of the royal palace. He took away everything. He took away the golden shields that Shlomo had made. The amount of gold adorning the Beit HaMikdash is legendary. Various monetary estimates based on the quantities described in Tanakh run easily into the billions. And though Shoshenk I dies soon after his invasion of the Levant, during the first years of the reign of his son and successor Osarkarn I, the new king lavished temples all around Egypt in an extraordinary quantities of silver and gold, which is attested to on a granite pillar inscription at the Delta site of Bubastis. There is actually great significance to what is described in this verse and from the Talmud in Psachim. We learn that Yosef accumulated all the silver and gold in the world when he was the vizier to Pharaoh in Egypt. It was this treasure which Bnei Israel took with them when they left Egypt, in fulfillment of Hashem's promise to Avram and Brit Ben Abtarim, the covenant between the parts, v'achrei chen yitzu b'rechush gadol, that they would leave Egypt with great wealth. They kept it until Shishak came and recaptured it from Rehoboam. For many centuries, the treasure lay ready for the moment when Israel would be prepared to assume the mantle of global leadership. Shlomo's reign accomplished that, and there is no reason why Rehoboam should not have been able to continue upon the foundations laid by his father. But Rehoboam forsook the Torah of Hashem, and he forfeited the right to the treasure, and Shishak reclaimed it. The implication of this is that Rehoboam's defeat at Shishak's hand is a seminal point in Jewish history. The spoil's true value lay not in its material worth, but in its deeper significance, something fundamental established at the inception of Israel's nationhood was lost. The great wealth returned to Egypt. This is the significance of Shishak's campaign against Yerushalayim. For the first time since the triumphant celebration of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, we see that Israel would not rise to the challenge of its great calling. We are then told that when Rehoboam humbled himself before God, the anger of the Lord was withdrawn from him, not destroying him and his kingdom to the point of eradication. Although the king and the prophet had acted inappropriately, they ultimately humbled themselves before God and Gam b'Yehuda hayu dvarim tovim. In Yehuda too, there were good things. Hashem recognized that once the king and people had repented, that there was much that was positive in Yehuda, and he halted the destruction. David and Shlomo's work had not been in vain, as the kingdom did not collapse all at once. The last four verses of chapter 12 contain a summary of Rehoboam's reign. He strengthened his hold in Yerushalayim. In light of his sincere contrition, Hashem allowed Rehoboam to reconstruct Jerusalem. But then verse 14 informs us, Vayas hara, ki lo hechin libo, lidrosh et Hashem. He did what was wrong, for he had not set his heart to seek God. Rehoboam may have made every effort to be a powerful and effective ruler, but didn't put in the same energy into his own spiritual welfare. Masudah David explains that he made no attempt to think deeply into his religious convictions. There's no positive evil here, simply a lack of deeply dedicated Torah leadership. The Malbim wrote that Rehoboam was judged as one who was shogeg, negligent. He did not sin bemazed, willfully, or out of denial. For this reason, he was not judged as a kofar, a heretic, and therefore Hashem had compassion on Jerusalem and left him in his kingship. The tragedy of Rehoboam was that, without being totally evil, he was nevertheless instrumental in the collapse of Israel's potential. We are then told that even though the army in Malchut Yehuda, the Judean kingdom, disbanded, there was no permanent peace, and subsequently battles did break out between the two kingdoms throughout Rehoboam's reign and his son, Avia's reign, who ruled as his successor. This shir is dedicated to Lezecha Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shiva Sion left an indelible mark on her many students.